the HPV Impact Project.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to switch back to the topic of HPV, except this time it's going to be in cervical disease. I think Elaine went over the background pretty well, so I won't belabor it, but as you all know, HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. There are about 40 genital types, and they're classified according to their cancer risk into high risk or oncogenic. There's about 14 known oncogenic and possibly more types of the 40 types, and of those, HPV 16 and 18 cause 70% of all cervical cancers worldwide. The other group is the low-risk or non-oncogenic type that causes diseases such as anogenital warts and respiratory papillomatosis. And of those, HPV 6 and 11 cause the majority of genital warts. We have two prophylactic vaccines, a quadrivalent vaccine against types 6, 11, 16, and 18, and a bivalent vaccine against types 16 and 18. They're both highly efficacious, and the quadrivalent vaccine has been licensed in the U.S. since 2006. And the bivalent vaccine was licensed a little later in 2009. And either vaccine is currently recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices for routine use in girls 11 or 12 years, with catch-up through age 26 for girls that weren't vaccinated previously. So obviously, a reduction in cancers is the biggest benefit of the vaccine, and that's what we want to really monitor, but it takes several decades from infection to development of cancer. There are more proximal outcomes, and as Elaine showed, the earliest evidence of vaccine impact is going to be on genital warts. In fact, it has been in countries with high coverage, like Australia. They've shown a very nice decrease in genital warts. And even in the U.S., as Elaine showed, even without the high coverage, there's emerging data that there may be some decreases in genital warts here as well. But they're not a direct measure of reduction in cancer. There is an intermediate measure, which is precancerous lesions of the cervix that are detected through routine cervical cancer screening. These are caused by HPV, and they can progress to invasive cervical cancer if they're not treated. But they take less time to develop than cervical cancer. And in fact, they were used as the endpoints in the vaccine efficacy trials as surrogates for cervical cancer. So cervical lesions include squamous lesions that are called cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, or CIN, and CIN actually represents a continuum of disease severity and is graded according to severity from grades 1 to 3. CIN 3 lesions are considered the true cancer precursors, but they're often difficult to distinguish from CIN 2, and so CIN 2 is used as the threshold for clinical management. There are also precancerous glandular lesions that are called adenocarcinoma in situ, or AIS. They're far less common than CIN, but for this presentation, I'm going to refer to CIN2, CIN3, and AIS collectively as CIN2+. So the objective of this analysis was to describe HPV prevalence and type distribution in CIN2+ lesions in U.S. females aged 18 to 39. And the data are from women who were diagnosed from 2008 to 2009. This was post-vaccine licensure, but prior to widespread vaccine introduction, so most of these women were not vaccinated. And also to look at demographic and clinical characteristics in this group of women. Our data come from the HPV Impact Monitoring Project, which is a population-based system that was established in 2007 to monitor HPV vaccine impact on CIN2+ lesions and the HPV types that are associated with them. So the two main objectives of the project are to monitor the overall incidence of CIN2+ over time in adult females in the U.S., and the second objective is to look at the HPV type distribution in CIN2 in a subset of females 18 to 39 years, and also to determine their vaccination status. There are 5 sites that are participating in the HPV Impact Project across the U.S., and they include sites in Oregon, California, Tennessee, New York, and Connecticut. And each catchment area within the sites is roughly similarly sized, with the female population ages 18 to 39 that ranges from about 107,000 in Tennessee to about 127,000 in Connecticut. So in order to get HPV typing data, the sites have to request archived histologic tissue that was used to diagnose the CIN2+ case from the pathology labs that report the cases in the catchment areas. And if the specimens are available, then they're processed according to a standard protocol and sent to CDC. At CDC, a pathologist reviews all the specimens, and if there's diagnostic material present, then they're tested for 37 individual HPV types, using two commercial genotyping assays. So from 2008 to 2009, a total of 4,121 women between the ages of 18 and 39 were reported to HPV impact with CIN2+. And specimens were available on about 3,000 of those. That's about 75% of the total eligible women. And were sent to CDC. Over 99% of those were deemed adequate for DNA typing, and of those that were typed, 99% had valid DNA results. So on to the results. Of the 3,058 specimens with valid DNA results, 96% of them were positive for at least one of the 37 HPV types, and 21% of them were positive for more than one HPV type. And the positivity was consistent if you look across the diagnosis grades and type, but the multiple types were actually a little bit higher in the lower grade lesions. I don't know where this mouse is. In the lower grade lesions and decreased with increasing severity of lesions. So this chart shows you the prevalence of individual HPV types of the 14 oncogenic types that I mentioned. And as you can see, HPV-16 predominates. Overall, so the yellow bars are everyone, the CIN2+ diagnoses, and the blue bars are just in the high-grade lesions, or CIN3. Almost half of specimens overall were positive for HPV-16, and almost 60% of the high-grade lesions were positive for HPV-16. HPV-18 is also in there, but it has a much lower prevalence, and all the other 14 types occurred with a frequency of about 10% or less. So we are really interested in the contribution of vaccine type, or 16 and 18 types, in development of CIN2+. And so this data shows you the proportion of vaccine types in the lesions by age category. And what I want you to notice here is that the proportion of 16 and 18 type lesions is actually higher in the younger age women in their 20s and early 30s compared to the 35 to 39-year-olds. And you can see this a little bit better if you look just at the high-grade lesions. So here you can see 71% of lesions in women 25 to 29 years of age were due to HPV vaccine type 16 and 18, compared to only 55% in the 35 to 39-year-olds. And this has been shown in other studies and is thought to be related to the different rates of progression of the individual HPV types, with vaccine types progressing faster than the other types. We do have race and ethnicity information that we painstakingly collect as part of this project, and so we wanted to also look at the proportion of vaccine types by race. And what we found here was kind of unexpected. We found that the proportion of vaccine types in lesions is higher in non-Hispanic whites compared to the other race and ethnic categories. So it's 60%, for example, overall in non-Hispanic whites compared to non-Hispanic blacks at 42%. And the differences remain when you look at just the highest grade lesions, and they're actually more pronounced between whites, who have 73% of lesions that are caused by 16 and 18 versus 51 among blacks. This is the same chart of the prevalence of the 14 individual oncogenic types. This time it's by race. So the yellow bars are the non-Hispanic whites, and the blue bars are represent non-Hispanic blacks. And as you can see, 16 is significantly lower in blacks compared to whites. And instead, there are other types, HPV 35, 52, and 58 in particular, that are higher in blacks compared to whites. So we wanted to look at the association of age and race with vaccine type infection in these lesions, adjusted for potential confounders. And what we had was diagnosis grade, geography or project site, insurance status, and of course age and race. And we put that in a multivariable model, and we found that the prevalence of 16 and 18 to other types remained significant in the younger age groups compared to the 35 to 39 referent category. And likewise, the proportion of 16 and 18 was significantly lower in non-Hispanic blacks compared to the non-Hispanic white referent group, even after adjusting for the potential confounders. So just to summarize, CIN2 lesions are used to monitor HPV vaccine impact on early cervical disease. And the data that I just showed you is probably the most extensive data from the U.S. that looked at HPV types among women diagnosed with CIN2+. Not surprisingly, we found that over half of the lesions were associated with HPV types, 16 and 18. We also, as I showed you, found that vaccine type-related lesions were highest among the younger women in their 20s. And as I said, it's probably because the vaccine types progress faster than the other types to clinical detection. We also found racial and ethnic differences in that non-white racial and ethnic groups were more likely to have lesions that were not related to vaccine types. But it is reassuring that HPV-16 was still the highest among all the race and ethnic categories. These differences in subgroups may have implications for vaccine effectiveness in different populations in the U.S., and we will continue to monitor this in the post-vaccine era through the HPV Impact Project. That's all I have. Thank you.
Questions for Dr. Hariri? I have a question. Why do you suppose HPV 18 was not more common, we found? 16 was the highest, but 18 was number 5 or 6.
Well, this is in cervical precancer lesions, and so if you look at the invasive cancers, the more severe the cancer, the higher the likelihood that 18 is a player in the lesions. So, 18 is lower than 16, you know, irrespective of the spectrum of the lesion, but it's lower, but it is one of the ones that causes cervical cancer.
Hi, I'm Carla. I'm a PA from Indiana. And I wondered whether your results showing that the severity of the lesion was worse when a woman had more than one type of HPV could be used as an argument for giving the vaccine even to somebody who's already been diagnosed with an abnormal pap.
So the severest lesions were associated with fewer multiple types. Okay. Yeah, so CIN3, there was less multiple types in CIN3 than in CIN2. So it's really the reverse of, yeah.
Thank you very much. Very
Thank
interesting.
You.